Easter. Morning. All right, turn to Psalm 1. Psalm 1. We're going to read the entire Psalm. Psalm 1. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now the word Psalms, since this is the first psalm, we should speak a little bit about this book. The word Psalms means praises, so that the book of Psalms could be called the book of praises. And in this book, we learn how to worship our God. Our Lord teaches His people how we are to worship our God, and the experiences, the heartache, the hardships that His people go through, we see this traced out here in the book of Psalms. It's a sweet book, because in there we see and identify and know that, no, I'm not crazy. This is the Lord doing this work. He's bringing me to this point, bringing me to see these things, because this is how the Lord works in His people, so that we might learn how to worship our God, to fall down flat on our faces, prostrate before holy, almighty God with our face, our proud faces, in the dirt, in the dust. Because God is God, and we're not God. And He shows us that. He brings us all to see that very truth. In this psalm, this first psalm, we see the blessed man. And that the blessed man is the Lord Jesus Christ. This isn't us. This is the Lord Jesus Christ who is blessed. Now, we in Christ, we're blessed. But we're only blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that once we see and know that, oh, this is Christ being spoken of here. This is Christ who is that blessed man. Then we have no problem seeing that we are nothing, and that everything that we have, every blessing that we have of God, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. But if we remain hard in our heart, if we keep thinking, no, this isn't about the Lord, this is about me, this is what I need to do, this is about my righteousness and how I'm blessed, when we hold that position, then we're not going to hear, we're not going to receive that we're nothing, we're not going to see that Christ is everything, we're not going to believe that we're only blessed of God in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not going to lie prostrate, flat on our faces in the dirt before holy God, the way that we ought to be, the way all men shall be in that great and final day. Our title this morning is Christ the Blessed Man. So that our first point, we'll see that we must be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be found in Him. And secondly, we'll see that the blessed man is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's that blessed man, and that we in Christ are blessed in Him. And then third, we shall consider the ungodly. So we'll have three points: found in Christ, second, Christ the blessed man, and third, the ungodly, the sinner, and the scorner. Alright, so Psalm 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful. Now notice here there's a contrast that you can see by looking at this verse. You see between this blessed man, and you begin to see some things about that carnal, fleshly man, that man of the world. And we'll see, though, that if we're to be blessed, we're only going to be blessed of the Father being found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Ephesians 1:3, and he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." In Christ. That's where every believer is blessed. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of you sitting here might be thinking back on your lives and thinking, "Well, I don't know about that. I think things have gone pretty well for me so far in this life. Many things that I set my hand to do have gone well for me. I've done well in this life. I don't think I need the Lord. I don't see what you're talking about." If that's true of you, if things are going well for you in this life, then know this, that you are nothing more than a cow being fattened for the day of slaughter. The Lord brings His people to see that they are nothing. You might think things are going well for yourself, but if you're not in the Lord, if God the Father hasn't put you in His Son, Jesus Christ, then you are nothing more than a cow being fattened for the day of slaughter. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians 5:2-3, and he said, "The day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." James speaks of these people that are in the world that are wealthy and wise and have things going well for them, and they look down upon the poor and the lowly and those people whose hope is not in themselves, not in their riches, not in the things that they have, but their hope is in the Lord, and they look upon them and they think very lightly of them. They don't think much of the Lord's people at all. And he said to them, James 5:5, "Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter." They slaughter the Lord's people. They take advantage of the Lord's people. They mock them. They think little of them. They don't care for the Lord's people. And they fatten their own hearts as in a day of slaughter themselves. But we won't have time to look at it, but in Psalm 73, it says of a righteous man there, I think it was Asaph, who said, "My feet had almost slipped when I looked at the wicked, and everything seemed to be going well for them. Everything, they seemed to come to a happy end. Everything goes well for them. And my feet had almost slipped by looking at those people." And he says, "But then I went into the house of the Lord. Then he heard the gospel being preached. And when he heard the truth being preached, then he knew their end. Then I knew their end," he says, "that their end, their life is a slippery slope going down, down, down. And they shall find themselves in great terror and in being cut off and cast off from the Lord." So James tells us, the brethren, he tells us, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." Right there in verse 1, notice that path, that progression of a path, if you will, so that if for a moment you think not of the blessed man, but think of the carnal man that's being spoken of here in Psalm 1:1, one who is not in Christ, one whose path is outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. It says, if you look, you can see where it says that they walk in the counsel of the ungodly. They stand in the way of sinners. They sit in the seat of the scornful. That's that carnal man outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. All their actions are actions of flesh. So that you can picture it. If you're older, you probably have experiences of this. And when you're younger, you're either going through it or you will go through it. Somebody at some point is going to say, "Come here, son. Let me talk to you. Let me tell you how to get things done in this life. Let me tell you how to make friends in this life, how to do business, how to set yourself up for success in this life. Just listen to me. I got some words for you." So that when you're going by and you're hearing them, and you stop and you listen, and they say some things, and then you try them out, and you see, "Well, that's pretty good. Seems to work out pretty well in this world. You know, when I listen to this one's advice," they're going by and they're heeding that counsel of the ungodly. Next thing you know, they're now standing among sinners. They've heeded their counsel. They tried some things out. Things seem to be going well for them when they do those worldly things. And now they're standing among sinners. And they're picking up their ways and their things. For one man, it may be drunkenness. For another man, it may be covetousness. And so that he thinks, I'm just going to get all the toys that I can in this world. And I'm going to collect riches. And I'm going to set myself up for a life of ease and comfort. And eventually, after some amount of time, he finds himself sitting in the seat of scorners. So that first he's just walking by, then he's standing among them, and now he's sitting in the seat of scorners so that he himself too is now teaching others who are coming up saying, come here, son, let me tell you how to do things in this life. You can go to church once in a while, but don't get caught up too much in that stuff. It'll drive you crazy. It'll drive you nuts. That's just for the sheeple. That's just for people who can't stand on their own. And they tell you things like that so that they say, don't get too caught up in it and don't listen to those things. It's fine if you're going there for a social club or to make some deals and get things done, but don't get too caught up in it. But John, the apostle, said, he is Antichrist who denieth the Father and the Son. If it's your uncle or your dad telling you these things, or your friend, he is Antichrist who denieth the Father and the Son. He is Antichrist who denieth the Father and the Son. Thank the Lord if he's delivered you from that. The Apostle John said in 1 John 2, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So there in our text it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Our Lord's word says of us that we are wretched, we're miserable, we're poor, we're blind, and we're naked. And because we are those things, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, that's what we all are by nature, he says there in Revelation 3:18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Brethren, my friends that are sitting here, Christ is that gold tried in the fire. He was proven of God the Father to be faithful and just and holy and righteous in all that he did in the days of his flesh here on earth. He's that gold tried in the fire. He's the one who makes the poor rich. He's the one whose white raiment clothes us. We are in shame and naked. Our Lord's righteousness clothes us, and he makes us righteous. He's the one who makes his people the righteousness of God. Christ is that eye salve, so that when we see him, he's the one who gives us light and life to behold that he is eternal life himself. Only in Christ are we blessed of God. Only in Christ. Turn to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. And we're just going to read this. Matthew 5, verse 1. Just see the blessings that we have in Christ. This is where our Lord, in teaching us, in filling us with his Spirit, in guiding us, in turning us from ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what he makes his people. Matthew 5, verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, Jesus went up into a mountain, and when he was set, the disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So first we know, when we read these words, this is the work of Christ doing this in his child. He's the one who brings us to this point, to be blessed in him, to have the character of his saints, because none of us by nature has these things. But you might have a couple of these things. You might be quiet and shy and things like that, but none of us in truth have all these things, but the Lord makes us so in him. And second, you'll be hated of men. You'll be hated of them. When you speak the truth, it's never in fashion. It's never a good time to speak the truth as far as the world is concerned. They took Jeremiah and they threw him in a slimy pit prison for speaking the truth. That's after Babylon had already come at one time and taken away the cream of the crop. Over 3,000 persons they took. And Jeremiah's telling them they're coming again. The Lord's sending them again. And they wouldn't hear it, so they threw him in a slimy pit prison that he might be killed and die. So the Lord delivered him from it. The world, if you speak the truth, if you speak Christ and you preach Christ, those who hate him, which are many, they won't want you walking among them. They won't want you standing among them. They won't want you sitting in their company. And ultimately, you'll learn and see that that'll be just fine with you, because there's really no joy and comfort and peace in sitting and walking and standing among them. All they're doing is just tearing you down and taking your eyes off the Lord, so that the Lord again has to remind you and bring you to see that he is your all. The scriptures say, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's Ephesians 5:11. All right, Christ, the blessed man. Christ, the blessed man. This is the one who's spoken here in Psalm 1:1. Christ is that blessed man, because only he perfectly fulfilled this word in every jot and every tittle. Only he is the one who did it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Consider our Lord, who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. John 6:15 tells us, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. He knew what they were coming to do. The bellies had been filled with food, and now they thought, this would be great. We can go against the Roman army. They could come against us in a rock fortress, and our Lord could just keep making food, and they'll never vet us out, because we got this guy with us. You know, he can fill our bellies, and we'll be fine. But the Lord didn't want to hear their counsel. He wasn't moved by the counsel of ungodly men. Our Lord refused it. And then consider him in the way of sinners. Hebrews 7:26 says, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. And brethren, what that's saying is, there's no guile found in our Lord's mouth. He committed no sin. No unrighteousness is there in our Lord. He committed no unrighteousness. Everything he did was faithful and just and holy and pure. It was faithful works to God his Father, trusting him always. But to those of us who are sinners, who have been taught of the Lord that we're nothing in ourselves, that there's nothing good in this flesh, and those of us who think, well, if the Lord's separate from sinners, what's going to become of me? Well, the scriptures say this in Luke 15:1-2. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. It's because they didn't know, they didn't see, they didn't understand. But as holy as our Lord is, he has that irresistible power and grace to draw those of us who have been shown and made to see that we are sinners. There's nothing good in us. We desperately need the grace of our God to save us. And He draws us for to hear Him. He draws us near by His grace and His power. What a mercy our God is. He doesn't go the way of this world, sinners, but oh, how sweet He is to draw those of us who have been shown that we are sinners and the need that we have of God's grace. Then we see our Lord there among that seat of the scorners there when our Lord hung on the cross, being faithful to God His Father in all things, trusting Him, never wavering, never doubting that God had called him to this work. And there he was being faithful to his bride, that while he was being scorned and mocked and people were trying to get him down from the cross, he remained faithful to you who believe. Think about that. It says that in Matthew 27:39, "And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." They mocked him, they tried to get him to come down off that cross, but remaining faithful to his Father to do that work which God sent him to do, and remaining faithful to his bride. He did that for us who are enemies, sinners, people who despised him and treated him without the respect that Almighty God deserves. And yet he endured that shame and that cross and trying to get him down from it, yet he remained faithful. He didn't go the way of the ungodly, the way of the sinner, and the way of the scorner. Our Savior remained faithful to his God, and he remained faithful to you who believe and have no righteousness of your own. He remained faithful. Because had he come down off that cross, that would have been the end. Yeah, he could have put them away, but all of us would have been lost too, and we would have no hope. And the Lord would have probably just ended the work right there. It would have been done. Psalm 1:1 again. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So I ask you, can we boast of that? Can we boast that this is us doing that work? Do we really do this perfectly and walk perfectly before men? Not if we're honest. Not if God has made you honest. You can't boast of that. On your best day, on my best day, I can't say that this is me. Not on my best day. But when you consider the Lord Jesus Christ, that He fulfilled all righteousness on behalf of His children, then we see that Christ is that blessed man. And that if we are to be blessed, we're only blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where God puts us. He puts us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's where He blesses us with all blessings. Our Lord, to do this, had to empty Himself of glory. It says that He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. And we also read from the Scriptures that He did this for us. It says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich." And then we read in Psalm 1:2 that He did this willingly. It says Psalm 1:2, "But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night." Now last night when I was reading before bed, I saw this verse, Joshua 1:8. This is speaking of the Lord. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." That's the Lord Jesus Christ perfectly. Turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verse 7. Speaking of our Lord doing the will of His Father, Hebrews 10:7. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. So that, brethren, the law and the ordinances given of God there at Mount Sinai, they were against us because we are not able to keep that law perfectly. We can't keep the law perfectly. If righteousness come by the law, then Christ has died in vain. So that we know that this is, Christ must do this. He fulfilled the will of God, and he fulfilled all righteousness on our behalf. Knowing this, before the foundation of the world was even laid, the Father covenanted with the Son, that the Son would come bearing flesh, that he might bear the sin of his people, that he might carry that sin to the cross, and there have the wrath of Almighty God poured out upon him, and that he put it away sufficiently, perfectly, completely, so that all who hope in him are comforted and know that indeed we shall stand before God righteous, not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness which is by Jesus Christ and him alone. Paul told Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. As God had given his Son a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, a people who have no boasting, no confidence in themselves, but a people who are brought low and are meek and are brought to see that they are nothing and have all their need must be fulfilled in Christ and in him alone. All right, look there in Psalm 1:3. Let's see what Christ accomplished while he was here in his flesh. Psalm 1:3. The psalm says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So that we ought to understand there a picture of how our Lord is that gospel tree, the one who is mighty and strong and has all provision. Think of it like you see a great tree in a field, and all the birds and all the animals of the plain, they run there for shelter and for safekeeping. A man may go there that he might be comforted from the heat of the day or receive some fruit. All these things, our Lord is all provision to his people. We have nothing of our flesh. There's nothing that we can boast in, so that Christ becomes all things. And it's through this gospel that we see the strength and the might and the power of our God. The scriptures say in Romans 3:21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. So that, brethren, when you see that you have no righteousness, that's a good place to be. You might be fearful and afraid for a time, because the Lord's going to bring all his people to see that they have no righteousness, that there is no goodness in them, that there's nothing that they're going to be proud of and boastful of to stand before God, so that we might see that we need the righteousness of God. And that righteousness of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by his grace, to us who are sinners, that through his Son Jesus Christ, that's where we need to be. The Lord's going to show us that. We've broken the law of God. Even if you've only think you've broken it in the smallest sense, even if you can see that, well, I'm not that bad, but maybe in this thing I did do this one little thing. Well, the scriptures say that he who's broken the law in the least thing, in the least little offense of the law, has broken the entire law. And you are guilty of breaking the entire law of God. You might think, well, surely my fruit is something that might merit something with God. Surely I do all these good works, or I'm a pretty good guy, I'm a pretty decent person. Surely these things might earn me something with God. But the scriptures are clear that the fruit that we bring forth, it's dead, rotten fruit. Some of you are probably gardeners. I do a little bit of gardening, and there's times when I go out and look at my tomato bushes, and I look at them, and I look at the tomato, and I think it looks good. And then I pull it up, it's still on the vine, and it's rotten. It's got, like, it's just eaten out and cankered, and just, it's vile and rotten. That's the fruit that we, by nature, are able to bring forth to God. That's what we can do. The best that we can do is bring forth that cankered, nasty, rotten, poisoned fruit. That's all that we can do. Only in Christ can we bring forth good fruit. He said in John 15:6, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So that apart from Christ, you cannot bear good fruit unto God. So don't think, well, okay, I hear about this religion stuff, and I'm going to do better, I'm going to do my best. The best that you're going to do is bring forth cankered, rotten, poisoned, dirty fruit. But here's how we bring forth good fruit to God. John 15:4-5 say, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." And so that's why, brethren, when we preach the gospel, we preach Christ. We're preaching not what man needs to be doing, not what man should be doing, not what we need to stop doing and start doing. We preach Jesus Christ. Because without Christ, ye can do nothing. It's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. As it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Apart from Christ, we wither and we die, and we're brought to see that we do not bring forth anything that is pleasing to God the Father. But turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 28. We see again, those who think that there's something apart from Christ, those who think that Christ isn't sufficient and that you've got to add your work, or those who think that Christ isn't true at all and that somehow they can please God. Usually that might not be young people, but older people, when they realize that all this time they've pushed God aside and wanted nothing to do with Him, and now the terrors of hell begin to seize upon their hearts, and they realize, I hope I can find something that I can look back to and have some form of hope and encouragement. But it says in Isaiah 1, verse 28, the second half after the comma, "And they that forsake the Lord shall be consumed, for they shall be ashamed of the oaks." That is, any tree that's not Christ. "They shall be ashamed of the oaks which ye have desired, and ye shall be confounded for the gardens that ye have chosen. For ye shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth." That's that same word in Psalm 1:3, withers. "Fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water, and the strong shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them." So I hope you hear me today that apart from Christ, ye can do nothing. Look to the Lord, because He's the Savior that God the Father has provided. Christ is that Savior, and He's a successful Savior, able to save all of them that come to Him. Turn to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Again, thinking of that verse, Psalm 1:3, thinking how the Lord shall prosper everything that's in this blessed man's hand. Isaiah 53, verse 10 says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He's successful. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear iniquities. Our ways are oftentimes frustrated. That's a good thing, though. It's a good thing when we see that the things that we thought, all the schemes that we thought, they're frustrated. I don't know if you ever played chess. I used to play chess. I don't play it much now, but I thought I had some really good moves ahead, and I would start to plan them out, a few moves out, and every time they would do the very thing that I thought, I didn't even enter my mind, didn't even come into my mind. And that's us by nature so often. We think that we're so wise and we're so smart and we got things so figured out, but there's always something that's coming from the other side that we just didn't see, right in our blind spot, to knock us off our high horse. If the Lord does that, be thankful. If he shows you that you're nothing in yourself, be very, very thankful for that, because not all people see that. Most people never come to see that God is all and that they themselves are nothing. And if in this life you do believe him, you do trust him, you do hope in the Lord, and you think, well, the Lord brings us through adversity, he brings us through trials, he brings us through afflictions, all to show us that we are nothing. It's because there's times when we begin to think that we're something. We start to climb that ladder of self-righteousness or just whatever we think we are, and we start climbing higher and higher. But the Lord faithfully brings us low, brings us down in ourselves, that we might not have confidence and trust in our own strength and in our own works and in the things that we can figure out and do. But the Lord will bring us and continually lead us back to the Lord Jesus Christ and show us our need of this gospel. Turn now, if you're still in Isaiah, to 30. Isaiah 30. And we see this. Isaiah 30, verse 20. Isaiah 30, 20. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Not that way of sinners, but this is the way. Walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left, and ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver, and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. Now the world, who trust in their own flesh, trust in their own wit, and their own charm, and their own abilities, they, from time to time, have to reach into their bag of tricks, and they pull out something that says, all right, this will get me out of it, and they're happy, and they go on their way. But when you're the Lord's, there'll come a time when you're being pressed out of measure, and you're being just hard, very hard, difficult times. And you'll turn to that old bag of flesh, and you'll reach down into that bag of tricks of yours, and you pull it out and think, this is surely going to get me out of it. And then the Lord brings you to see, you're holding a menstruous cloth. Anything that you're just trusting in that's of your own flesh, you're going to say, ah, that's nasty. I don't want anything to do with that. The Lord brings you to see. He opens your eyes to see that all our works, all our tricks, all our gadgets and things that we rely on, they're not of the Lord. But pray. Be brought to, let it drive you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fall on your face before him. Worship him. He's that blessed man. If you're going to be blessed in the thing that you think is set before you, it's going to be because the Lord God Almighty is blessing you, and it's going to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not going to let you get away with working out these things in your own flesh. And it might be years. There's been years where things seem to be going well for me. And time and time again, things just went well, but I wasn't seeking the Lord and I wasn't trusting in him. I mean, I was doing my thing, and I'm not saying I wasn't saved, but I was really relying on myself. And there comes a day, a hard day, when everything just gets pulled out from under you and you realize, where am I? How far have I gone from the Lord? Lord, have mercy on me. Save me, Lord. Please be merciful. Because we'll keep going. We think we're so clever. Until the Lord just pulls it away. So I encourage you, seek the Lord. Beg the Lord for mercy to show you that you're nothing in yourself. But this, I know it's hard. The flesh doesn't like to pray those things. And pray for grace, really. Pray for grace, because He will show you. But pray that the Lord keep your heart, because you will go for a long time. You'd be surprised at how far away you can walk away. But the Lord will, He'll bring you back if you're His. He'll bring you back to see that you are nothing in yourself and say, there's the way. It's in Christ. That's where you need to be. And He'll bring you there. He'll put you in there Himself. It's His grace. All right, our third point. The ungodly, the sinner, and the scorner. So in contrast to Christ, we see Christ is the blessed man. Now we see here in these last four verses in Psalm 1:4, the ungodly, the sinner, and the scorner. It says the ungodly are not so. They're not like Christ. They're not so. But are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly shall see in that day that there is no place for them among the righteous congregation. They were once wise in their own eyes. They thought they had it all figured out. And then they come to the end, if they're given time to think about it, brought to see that they have nothing. And then they're scrambling around in their thoughts, trying to find something that they can lay hold of that gives them hope that if there is a God, maybe He'll receive me for this thing. But all that is just, it's a phantom, it's just a ghost. They're just reaching for straws that are not going to save them. Today is the day of grace. If the Lord's going to save you, it's going to be today. It's going to be now, that if you're His, hear His word and beg Him for mercy and for grace to save you from your blindness and your darkness and your deadness. Beg Him to save you from your sin. The ungodly have no place. They speak of their peace and their prosperity and their hope and their things, but there's coming a day, because it says, not so the way of the ungodly. They shall say, peace and safety, and then sudden destruction is going to come upon them. It's so easy now. And when things are going well and you're healthy, or things are, you figured out how to deal with your aches and pains for now, and things seem to be going well, and you can boast, and you think you got life before you, especially if you're young, you think that things are just going well. You'll deal with those things later on. But hear His voice now. Now is the day to seek the Lord. Hosea said, 13:3, therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. That's just saying, it's fast. Our day comes up like the rising sun, and sets just like the setting sun. It comes just like that. It's over very, very quickly. And that day, when they realize that they've shunned the Lord, that they've had nothing to do with Him, and they don't know, they don't remember the gospel, they can't remember how a man is justified, even if they sat under the gospel for years and years and years, it won't come to their mind. They shall seek to walk among wise counselors, but in that day they're going to be driven away from the Lord's presence. They'll seek to stand among the righteous in judgment that day, but they shall not stand among the righteous in the day of judgment. They'll desire then to be sitting with the righteous in that righteous congregation when they see all these things are so. Everything that the Lord said, they're so, and it's all in Christ. They'll seek to sit among the righteous, for they shall be cast out in their shame and in their nakedness into darkness. They trusted in their own flesh. They would not hear what the Lord said in the day of His grace. All right, turn to Jeremiah 17. This will be the last scripture I have you turn to. Just a few more remarks. Jeremiah 17, and look in verse 5. See, this passage is a very good parallel passage to Psalm 1. Jeremiah 17, 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth the man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be not like that tree, but he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. That's the way that the ungodly shall go. So don't look to your heart. Don't refuse Christ, the grace that is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that great in that final day? It's approaching. Hear him. Look in verse 9, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So to those wicked who think they're righteous in their own eyes, their righteousness is sufficient in their own eyes, says, not so the ungodly. They're not planted. They shall not bring forth fruit. They shall wither, and they shall not prosper. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The way of the ungodly, it shall perish. But now look in verse 7, Jeremiah 17:7, and hear the way of the righteous. It says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he, in Christ, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Think of that hot judgment day when you stand before the Lord and you realize that God is God and that He, everything He said in His Word is true and right. But the righteous, they'll not see when that heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So brethren, look to the Lord. He's that blessed man. If you're to be blessed in the Lord, in of God, it's only in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where He puts His people. That's where He blesses His people, in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray the Lord encourage your hearts to get to the Lord Jesus Christ, to flee to Him, to look to Him, to trust only in Him. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, Father, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, we know that in our nature we can't hear. We can't receive Christ. We can't believe on You. But Lord, we pray that Your Spirit of grace would fall upon us now, that You would awaken our heart to see that Christ alone is salvation, and that in Him is refuge and safety, that He is that righteous tree who brings forth fruit in His people. Lord, let us not trust in our own righteousness. Let us not trust in our own wisdom. Lord, if we be far away from You, I pray that You would call Your people back. Help them to see that they're not in the way of righteousness, Lord, if they're going their own way according to the flesh. But Lord, save them. Save them back. Get them back from it. Bring them to Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name, our Lord and Savior. Amen.